Next Step 373, July 30th, 2015. Hey, today we'll be looking at autonomous weaponry, the takeover from Windows 10 to a chance for peace. How about autonomous peace? Here's your first step. Cautionary tales of judgment, the compassion of Jesus, to the emotions of anger, and expanding on the metaphor of Father. Also, we'll find a Kardashian in the village of Mofses. This is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, inviting you to take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie of In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a new episode of The Next Step. Since 2008, The Next Step has been coming to you on a weekly basis, bringing you the voice of Armenian Orthodox spirituality, Armodoxy for the New World. We invite you to listen in as Father Voskin connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, emotional, and spiritual worlds. Whether you're searching for practical and deeper applications of faith in your life, or if you're one of the many disenfranchised members of the church community, you've tuned in to the right station. Father Voskin has a message for you. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
So good to have you joining us today. I am broadcasting from the Glendale studio, a hot, muggy day here in Los Angeles. And actually, what you may hear the hum of the air conditioning unit, I just have to run it today. So I apologize if there's a little hum in the back. Ken is back. Yes, Ken is back here.
Doing good.
Good. Back from Jakarta, and he's back in one piece, which is really nice. And in front of me on my main computer, we're running Windows 10. Yes, just came out yesterday, and I got a notice that, you know, my reservation was in place, and so I got to download it overnight, and I am running Windows 10. Looks good. Looks solid. I like it. I like it. And it's an overlay over the Windows 7 that I had. I'm waiting for it to come in on my Windows 8 machine, so everything will be in sync. And I was talking with Susie yesterday about the whole evolution of Windows. You know, we remember back in Windows 1, which was called Windows 3.1, and then came Windows 95, 98. I had a Millennium Edition, which was like Windows 4, and then XP. That was like a robust system, XP for how many years, and then we went to Windows Vista, which was like Windows 6, and I guess Windows 7 came along, and that one I've just enjoyed so much. Windows 8, not as enjoyable, but you know, it'll do. But now here's Windows 10, which I think Microsoft kind of listened to everybody, and everything's working out real good. I'm giving you this as a prelude because, as you heard earlier, I'm going to be talking about some autonomous technology. And I think this is really important. Yes. There is an ethical issue here. There is some ramifications that we've got to talk about. We've got to address. And I was so fascinated by the piece, which is still in its early phases, autonomous weapons. These are weapons that go out there and kill people. Yeah. You don't need to press the button anymore. Right. They are targeting people, and they do kill people. It's a new evolution in the process of fighting war. And, you know, we keep talking about peace over here, and there's just more evolving on war. Remember the Joni Mitchell song? Can you cue it up, Ken? Yeah.
Sitting in a park in Paris, France, reading the news, and it sure looks bad. They won't give peace a chance. That was just a dream some of us had. Still a lot of lands to see, but I wouldn't want to stay here. It's too old and cold and settled in its ways here. All the California can.
Yeah, I happened to hear that last week, and I was just sharing it with Ken a few minutes ago. Joni Mitchell talking, give peace a chance. That was a dream that was just a dream that some of us had. Why? Why is a dream that we had? Why isn't a dream that we have? Why aren't we talking about peace? Well, war is so much more, it's so much, so easier, right? Let's just go obliterate. Somebody doesn't get it. Somebody doesn't think the way that I do. And we're going to be talking about this in the second portion, right after the song of the day, in my piece about autonomous weapons, because this is really scary. These are weapons that can go out there, could target a person, and kill that person. That's scary. Nobody to press the button. Yes, that is an ethical issue. The ethics comes in, your faith has to come in, what your belief system is has to come in and play in with that. I'll be talking about that in a few minutes. Let me start off with doing some letters. It was interesting. You know, last few weeks I've been talking about same-sex marriages, and I shared with you some of the things that I've been through personally. In fact, at a clergy meeting where I was kind of attacked, you know, because I came out with a stance that, hey, you know, let's make a statement about marriage, but be careful what you say about homosexuality, because as we grow, as we evolve, as we understand, as we walk in the shoes of others, we're starting to understand that it's not merely an issue of preferences, but it is a certain way that people are born, and a respect for the way people are born and the way that they are programmed, the way they are wired. And when we talk, when we understand people, we have to understand that we are people with the same flaws and the same difficulties, perhaps in different ways. And that's all I was saying. And so I got an interesting letter from somebody who said, a gentleman who wrote about Pope Francis, and he said, do you remember what Pope Francis had said? That I cannot cast that first stone. Who am I to judge? Wow! Have we heard that before? Who am I to judge? Well, if you haven't heard it, check out. Yeah, check it out. A couple years ago, 3 years ago, when the Supreme Court decided on this, this was my presentation, and it is on our YouTube channel. Yeah, we're talking about who am I to judge? You know, because last week I was hit by somebody who came up and he said, you know, like, don't you know what it says in the Bible and all this? And when I tried to present that, you know, we have to approach with compassion, he said to me, he said, you are pointing to a Jesus who is filled with compassion. That's fine. But don't forget that Jesus also went into the temple and cleaned it out in anger, because there were things that didn't belong in the temple. Yes, I understand that, but don't forget, you don't forget, that Jesus was Jesus. Jesus was flawless. He was the perfection. He was God incarnate. He had that opportunity. He had that right to stand there and say, this is wrong. And yet, on a personal level, what does he do? He does not condemn. In fact, one of the most beautiful prayers that I love during the Divine Liturgy, in our Armenian Orthodox Divine Liturgy, is a silent prayer that's offered by the priest. It's during the Lord's Prayer, and he says, we thank you, God, because for our ancestors, for the forefathers, for the foremothers, you were known as God. But in your mercy, in your compassion, you gave us the opportunity to call you Father. Well, think about that for a moment, right? And how beautiful is that? That is what the Christians, what we as Christians have an opportunity to call God, Father. And if you're calling him Father, you need to take that metaphor out. Those of you who are parents know what I'm talking about, right? Your children screw up, they mess up and everything. Does that diminish your love for them? Even when they go in wayward paths, you love them even more. You have compassion even more. Remember the story of the woman caught in sin, right? Jesus said, let the person who has no faults, go ahead, throw the first stone. But you're fine. Go ahead, this lady is wrong. Pick up a stone if you don't have any faults. And one by one, her accusers drop their stones. And Jesus looks up and he sees everyone is left. And he turns to the woman. This is important, okay? This is really important. He turns to the woman. He says, woman, where are your accusers? And he says, neither do I condemn you. He had the opportunity to condemn her, but he says, neither do I condemn you. At that moment, he's judge and jury. It's over. And at that point, he says, go and sin no more. He gives that opportunity to that person. Now, we don't know what's going to happen to that woman. You don't know what she does after that. The story is not about who she is. The story is about God's compassion for each and every one of us. And who are we to judge other people? And that's, you know, going back to the story of, like, you know, Jesus went in and he blew up and he threw everybody out of the temple. Well, yeah, those were things that didn't belong in the temple. There were money changers, money launderers. They were selling items and everything. He says, no, this is a house of prayer, and he threw everybody out. Well, they wanted to extend the metaphor that, okay, in life, people do mess up. So we need to stand there like Jesus and throw people out. That's okay, but are you the person without the sin? Are you the person that is sinless, that you are able to pick up that first stone? And so Jesus says so beautifully, he says, first remove the log that is in your own eye. Why? So that you can see the speck in your brother's eye. Wow. Compared to what we carry on as baggage, people have difficulties, but they are really specks when you look at the logs that are inside of our own eye. And so Jesus concludes that entire Sermon on the Mount where that's presented. He says, first set your mind on God's kingdom, and all else will follow. Very important. You reach that perfection. You worry about yourself. Don't worry about the sins, because God doesn't need a spokesperson. God doesn't need somebody to defend him. This is why, if you listen to my podcast, you listen to the messages that we throw out, very seldom do I do apologetics. I don't care for them. And in fact, I'm getting thrown into something recently with the diocese where they want me to do some videos that are apologetic in nature. Apologetics is, it's important, you know. It's just personally not my gig, you know. But it's important, you know. They defend the faith. And in defending, you put out the arguments and everything. But we have enough to do with giving peace a chance, in looking around and bringing about peace. And that begins with each and every one of us understanding, having compassion for one another, sharing with one another, putting our feet in the shoes of others, walking in those shoes, walking with their difficulties, walking with their pain. Now, I wanted to also make a comment, because I did receive quite a bit of email after last week, and I'm going to start a new policy. We were talking about this yesterday, actually. I get a lot of email about the podcast, about the ministry, and I try to reach out as much as I can. I try to respond as quick as I can. Sometimes it gets delayed. But I realize that people are hesitant to place those emails in the blog site or on the Facebook page, perhaps because it reveals some personal information. And that is completely acceptable and understanding. But in the same breath, I need to say that so much of what you write to me about is really pertinent to other people. You'd be surprised how much overlap there are. So many people that share the same concerns. And so what I want to do from this point on is, unless I hear to the otherwise, unless you preface it and say, please do not discuss it, I will, with keeping an anonymity, I will not reveal your name, where you're from. I'll just say a writer said it. But I would like to share bits and pieces of your emails, if not the entire piece, because I think that they just touch so many souls out there, so many people out there. So it's kind of a new policy change. Okay, we'll be doing that. So that's where we start off with a new Windows 10 system, with giving peace a chance, talking about some of the email, and now going into the song of the day. I have picked out, this is probably, you haven't heard this, Monique von Grigorian. She has put out an album about Von. This is one of our historic lands. This is a song called Maratuch Ostvazazin. It's a prelude to the Feast of Ostvazazin coming up in a couple weeks. I thought it'd be a nice way to kick off the month that is ahead, because we're recording, yes, July 30th, but by the time most of you listen to this, we will be in August, a beautiful month to celebrate the Ostvazazin. Manig van Grigorian doing a piece called Maratuch Ostvazazin. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, do check out the link on our show notes today. Do check out not only this song, but all of her great music. Really beautiful voice. I hope you enjoyed it. I did. I certainly went off somewhere else. I happened to have a chance last year to visit the Vaughan area, and it is just really gorgeous. Listening to this song just kind of put me back there. So anyway, and if you haven't been there, well, kind of close your eyes and imagine it. Manig van Grigorian, hope you enjoyed it.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness there rides a peace train. Peace train, take this country, yeah, come take me home again.
This is a piece that I heard on NPR just a few days ago, and it resonated in my heart because we were talking. I heard that song about Give Peace a Chance. That was just a dream we had, and I realized how much of a dream it was, and sad. It's sad because we were talking about peace a few decades ago, and now we're talking about everything being resolved by war, everything being finished off in a political arena. And where's the spiritual dimension to our lives? We are spiritual people. Having gone to Rwanda and met with people in refugee camps, and seeing the aftermath of genocide, being a genocide survivor myself, having listened to the stories my grandparents gave me, you know, you see the violence at the ultimate degree. And why can't we talk about love at its ultimate degree, namely peace? Where is that peace? And we keep making new gestures of war rather than new gestures of peace. Specifically in this NPR piece, it was about researchers warn against autonomous weapons. These are weapons that really think on their own. That's scary. That's very scary. You know, actually, you know what? No, I was going to play the piece, but what I'll do is I'll put a link on today's show notes to the NPR piece. Do listen to it. It's about a 4 or 5 minute little piece. But a lot of ideas are coming out in there, which I think that as a world community, and especially in Armadoxy, where we're trying to present an alternative to war, where we're trying to show, here's a group of people with embracing Armadoxy, a group of people that have never had military strategy, military power, but somehow have been able to overcome the odds. Is it possible to overcome those odds in a peaceful manner? Is really peace giving peace a chance, really a viable option to life in this world? I mean, we remember some of the civil rights leaders and how that dream was taken away with their assassination, whether it was Dr. Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, even John Kennedy. You know, growing up in the 60s, I remember these things. These really changed the way we thought, because there was an opportunity to reach for peace, but then it was taken away by an assassin's bullet. And think about it, just this small little 2-inch, few millimeters, and taking away a life, taking away a chance for that peace. John Lennon, another one, wow, 1980. Never forget the evening he was shot. How ironic, a person who was dedicated to peace, that he should die so violently. And it just emphasizes that, you know, no matter what we try in this world, there's always going to be people who find the power of hatred, the power of evil, as an optimal power to bring about change in the way that they want. And I'm saying, if we are true to Armadoxy, true to the Christian faith, Jesus Christ was the first nonviolent revolutionary. He came out and he said that, you know, you can overcome hatred with the power of love. You can overcome that killing, that war, with the power of love. And people throughout life, throughout the history, have embraced this. Gandhi, for instance, he was admittedly not a Christian, but he took the message of Christ. And he talked about Jesus and that message that he had. And I think this is really important for us to embrace, that it's not enough to just say, okay, I am a Christian, but to understand that you have this responsibility, not only to yourself, but to the world, to bring about peace, to be that beacon of hope, that beacon of light, that peace is an option in this world. It's a viable option, and we have to strive for peace. This particular piece that came, no pun intended, this particular piece, this particular message from NPR, is about autonomous weapons and a group of people, a group of scientists, a group of engineers who have put together an organization called the Future of Life Institute, and they have issued an open letter, and it's signed by some incredible people, including theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking, entrepreneur Elon Musk, as well as Steve Wozniak. Steve Wozniak, I whenever I hear his name, there's a nice smile that comes on my face. I happen to be living in Cupertino when him and Steve Jobs started the computer revolution in a different way. Yes, computers were around. There were different computers, but they came out with the Apple II. And I remember Steve Wozniak. Every so often we'd see him driving through town in his Porsche, and his license plate would be Apple or Apple II, something like that. I do remember seeing him. In fact, up in Los Gatos, which was a kid right next to Cupertino, we'd get excited. You know, it was a really great time in life because you saw that computers were able to change, were able to do those mundane tasks that, you know, you got tired of. I remember my master's thesis having to type that. We had to get an IBM Selectric. My wife Susan sat there strenuously straining her eyes looking at each letter as they were being typed, because you could not make a mistake. If you made a mistake, there was no such thing as whiteouts. So we rented an IBM Selectric, and one by one keying in each letter of that thesis, because when you presented it to the thesis board and to the publication, there could not be any typos in there. No whiteouts even, you know? So we'd have to type it. And then when all of a sudden you got a computer, and in a computer you could put together a document. Can you imagine that? We were able to type and retype and correct and eliminate typos. This was even before spell checkers, believe it or not. You'd type it in. But what was beautiful about it, you'd hit the print button and there it was. It would print out on a daisy wheel computer. And then, of course, lasers came out. But this morning what happened is a computer basically ran its own self right in front of me. I'm sitting there, and it says, your Windows 10 update is ready. Press on this button if you want to update. And I pressed it. I gave the go-ahead on that, and all of a sudden, in front of me, it took over my computer. And it downloaded software from Microsoft. It restarted my computer several times. It was like a loop of restarts. And then it produced a new version of the operating system. Okay, that's pretty, you know, pretty harmless. It gave me something that I wanted. Well, we're familiar also with what's happening with smartphones. Just think about it. 5, 6, 7 years ago, smartphones weren't a big deal. They were kind of like a geeky kind of thing until Apple produced the iPhone and made it very popular. And now today, it's like you have to have a smartphone. You have to have this technology in your pocket that can reach out and tell people where you are. You could locate things. You could find out information. It's basically having a computer in your pocket at all times. You can listen to podcasts. You're probably listening to me right now on a smartphone. You know, and life has changed. Technology is evolving and is changing. Smart cars. Google has them. I don't know if you've seen them. I saw one. I can't remember where, but I saw it driving with those big dishes. They look like dishes or cameras or stuff like that on top. And they're basically getting us to the point where you just go in there and you put on your GPS. I want to get to this address, 123 Main Street. And you sit back and the car will take you. Yeah, it's something in the future. It's not happening right now, but guess what? It's going to happen. And you know, it'll probably happen because driven by the economy. At some point, the insurance companies are going to say it is more profitable to allow cars to drive themselves, and then like it or not, you're going to have to sit in that back seat because the car is going to take you where you want to. It's going to happen. We were kids. We used to watch a show called The Jetsons and meet George Jetson. Yeah. That's right. Meet George Jetson, his wife, daughter Judy, son Elroy, Astro the dog. Remember that? And we'd look at it and we'd say, would there be a day where this would happen? Well, yeah, there is. The day is coming. The day is right now. And the same is true when we talk about war, in positions of war. And this autonomous weapons, what it does is basically, there are weapons now that you can program to kill, to desecrate, to eliminate your enemy. And in this piece, we heard about a rifle. You could set it up. Now, what's interesting, why does it become autonomous? At some point, yes, we are all in charge. Just like this morning, the computer came on and it says, do you want to update your operating system? It gave me that choice. It didn't have to. It did not have to do that. But of course, because of society's norms, the way that we're working right now, it would be horrible if all of a sudden I turned it on and said, hey, guess what? We updated your computer. Well, believe it or not, that's already happening with your regular weekly or monthly updates. Your operating systems, whether it's from Apple, whether it's from Microsoft, they're being updated. Your computer life is no longer private. You know that. We all know that. I forgot who said it a few years ago. It says, privacy? Get over it. There's no more privacy. Well, it's being taken over. Everything you do can be. I don't know if it is. But this is what Snow showed a few years ago when he came out and said all of the data that has been collected on us. It can be private, but it probably isn't. And just about anything you throw on the net is out there for consumption. And in that, we are seeing that artificial intelligence, in other words, a machine, a robot, making the decisions for you, has come of age. It's happening right now. It's happening right in your presence. It's happening right now. And I know we talk about robots, and I believe in this piece, if you listen to it, he makes that point too. Every time you talk about robots, the images are of Terminator and these things that just go out there and kill people. But why aren't we talking about robots that can give peace, that can make peace happen? Well, how do you make that peace happen? Now, I find that this open letter that has been signed by this Future of Life Institute, it's beautiful. It's very nice. Can it be implemented? I mean, their only hope is the United Nations. And I don't know if that's going to be possible. But they're talking about weaponry that can stand here. Now, we're familiar with drones, right? Drones, and we hear about them constantly. They're hovering over areas that we have targeted, and I think just a few days ago, somebody else, another Al-Qaeda or another ISIS leader, was taken out by a drone. Now, drone is different. A drone means you're sitting someplace, and you've got the controls in your hands. You've got the controls in your hands. So again, it's a people function. So ultimately, you take that responsibility on yourself. You press the button, and then the drone reacts according to the button that you've pressed, to the steering mechanism that's in there according to your will. That's different. A drone is different. Autonomous weapon means that it is programmed, it has been set up to kill. And it is a weapon that has a mind of its own. And it's very scary. It's very scary because at some point we're giving up not only our rights, but we're giving up responsibility, because who's going to take responsibility? And as we are evolving as a society, a more mature society, that responsibility equation is essential. You have to take responsibility for the acts that you do. I'm confronted with this constantly. People come up and they tell me, well, I did this or I did that. And they'll tell me, you know what? Well, at some point, because you did that, you take the responsibility for that. You put a bunch of people in your car, more than the maximum that's allowed. You have 5 seatbelts in your car. You put 6 people, 7 people, 8 people, and you let 3 of them ride without seatbelts in the back someplace, right? Who's going to take responsibility for that if not you? You've allowed that. Responsibility on very mundane kind of things, okay? You go into a test, and they've told you, bring your pencils along. And you've brought a pencil, but you didn't bring a sharpener with you, and the tip of your pencil breaks. Now, who are you going to blame for that, huh? Who are you going to blame? Oh, this lousy test, this table that I was on, right? It broke the lead on the pencil. And think about what you hear constantly on the news. You'll hear about an accident, and what will it tell you? The news story. An SUV went into a crowd and killed five people. What do you mean an SUV? An SUV had its own thinking? No, there was somebody behind the wheel. Today, a drone went out and took out the ISIS leaders. Who's behind that drone? Well, there is somebody steering that. And constantly, this is how we're being taught. That responsibility is on some kind of machine. In the case of autonomous weapons, well, it is. An autonomous weapon has the power to make that decision. That decision. You can program it and say that it's your decision. Given these factors, think about the chess games that we played. You may still be playing them. I remember when they first came out. Oh, they were confusing. You're playing against a machine. In fact, forget about chess. Tic-tac-toe. Yeah, if you haven't done that in a while, try it, okay? If you haven't done it, this is probably the easiest experiment you could do. I remember back in the late 60s, my dad put me in a computer class at USC. It was with the Science Museum over there. And one of the most fascinating things that was there was this big old tic-tac-toe machine. And it was impossible to win. You can tie it. What's it called? Cat's game. You can have a tie. In other words, nobody would win. But you couldn't win this machine because no matter what you did, it was programmed to, you know, it's basically nine little spaces with X's and O's. And it would figure out a way of blocking you. Until we figured out how to do it. It was a combination of a couple buttons. We basically broke it and hacked it. That's what it was. A combination of a couple buttons that we would press. And it would give us the desired. It would give us our X or our O in a place where the machine was going to take it. And so we basically broke the system. We hacked it. Very primitive hacking. Well, today people are hacking your computers all the time. They're hacking your cell phones. And in that hack, you're basically at the mercy of somebody else. The latest hack is what? It's this lockup system. It's basically about blackmail. They'll lock your system, right? And it's an interesting virus because they let it go for a while. And then all of a sudden, it shows up and says, your system is locked. And unless you pay the ransom, you know, to get the code to unlock it, you're basically out. So you better hope you have backed up and you have not backed up the virus as well. Scary. Somebody's doing it. Somebody's figuring it out. Okay, so you come down, I'm talking about Armadoxy. What is this? All of a sudden, you're talking about electronics and technology. No, I'm talking about very simple, basic idea of responsibility. And if we're going to take the responsibility for hatred in this world, it's time that we started thinking about taking responsibility for peace. And the Armadoxy position is to take that peace and automate it. If we're talking about autonomous weapons, ours is to be the creative energy out there to talk about autonomous peace. Can we give peace a chance? Can we really bring peace to the forefront? Can we be talking? Can we be speaking about the language of peace in the same manner that people are talking about the autonomous weapons of war? We can. We can. It's not absurd. Armadoxy, when I talk to you about Armadoxy, I'm talking about a tradition. It's based on the very simple principles that were expounded to us by Jesus Christ. And it's not about, hey, you're going to heaven and, you know, God loves you and doesn't love everybody else. No, it's about this principle that we are all on this good ship called Earth. And we're going through the galaxy. We're going through the universe. And our whole existence is on this one planet, and we have to figure out a way of living with one another. Not setting up those boundaries, but figuring out a way of reducing and eliminating those boundaries so that we can all see each other. And the first way you do that is to understand people. Your understanding begins by walking in their shoes, by placing your feet in the shoes of others. Because once you do that, all of a sudden, hey, you realize, oh, I didn't know that. There's no bottom on this shoe. So he's feeling all the pain. Or you say, whoa, I didn't realize there's no heel on this. So I don't have a lift all of a sudden. I have to walk crooked. And slowly you understand what the other person is going through. And as you start understanding that other person, your compassion develops. You have an opportunity to love. You understand that, hey, my problems too. I wish somebody could walk in my shoes. Somebody can feel my pain. And once we start talking in this manner, we open the doors for peace. Those autonomous weapons can be for peace. I'm challenging you as listeners of the next step. We talk about the next step. What is the next step? It's really to take what we have learned, to take this message of hope, of love, and of peace out to the world. And each of us are responsible for carrying that message out. We need to become those beacons. If we're going to take the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, you cannot set up boundaries. If you're going to be called a Christian, you need to be the son or daughter of Jesus Christ. And in other words, saying, neither do I condemn you. And looking at one another with love, with compassion. And that's where the automation begins. In the same way that computers have evolved to the point where I press a button this morning and I say, yes, I want the new operating system. In that same manner, life has evolved to the point where we can say, yes, I do want a new life. I do want a new system, a new operating system, one which is filled with compassion, with love, and will get me to peace. Please look over this article. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your comments about this. It's not pie in the sky. It's something that's attainable right now. I'm going to take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, Susie here again, reminding you that the next step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We've been broadcasting for 8 years now. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. Each episode is filled with insights about faith and applications of love. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's epostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, .net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you for your generosity, for your prayers. They go a long way in continuing our mission. I want to share with you this week, my deacon just returned back from Armenia and bringing some messages and news. As part of the In His Shoes ministry, we reach out to a wide variety of different circumstances and people in the world. Last year, we were challenged. One of our priests here in our diocese said, you know, it would be great if we could reach out to some of the priests in Armenia because, you know, in some of the rural villages, they are so primitive. And they have to walk around from village to village in getting to the needs of the people. And he presented us a list of different priests, and one of them hit my eye. It was in the town of Movses, and that is a village that is right on the border between Armenia and Azerbaijan. and and the name of the priest there was Father Apel Kardashian. And so this priest that had presented the list, when I said, this is the one that I want to sponsor, he said that, you probably picked him out thinking that he was related to Kim Kardashian. I said, no, I picked him out because the name of the village was Movses, and that's my last name, the root of my last name. But yeah, Kardashian is a very familiar name. It's an Armenian word. I don't know if you know. Kardash, the word kar means stone or rock. Dashel means to grind away, to whittle away. So it's the stone grinder, the rock grinder. That's what Kardash means. Anyway, that aside, I did get a chance to send over quite a bit of money to this village over there and to this priest. And my deacon just returned, and he told us about the adventures over there. The Father Apel is in charge of 7 villages, and the money goes to help with his ministry in reaching out to people because it is on the border. The people in these villages are in mortal danger just about every day. In fact, many of them have left these areas because of fear. Father Apel Kardashian is really a mountain man, a strong man that is standing and holding down the fort with his faith. And he, along with his whole family, his wife is a social worker over there, his children, his son teaches karate, his daughter teaches Armenian dancing, and they're basically involved in bringing a message of hope to the people over there. So the money goes a long way in providing for these people. And this is where your money is in action. I'll share with you a little bit more maybe next week on Father Apel and the Movses. But what I wanted to share with you right now is when we make that appeal for In His Shoes or for Apostle, it's all of this money coming together to make these podcasts available, these broadcasts, reaching out to the world with this message of hope, of peace, and a unique message, because this is not something that you'll hear. This is not Christianity 101. This is basically Christianity exposed, Christianity exploded. It is a group of people. If you look at where Armenia is, it stands at the crossroads of 3 continents. And every kind of barbarian terrorist has walked through that area, raped and pillaged. And here's a group of people that have maintained their survival and their future based on a very fundamental idea of peace, of love, and harmony. This is a message that we need to get out to the rest of the world. We need to be talking about this with the rest of the world. And your donations to In His Shoes goes in this direction. Father Apel Kardashian was a recipient of a grant which we sent out earlier this year, and I'm very happy to report that he's been using that to further his mission of love, of compassion, of hope, walking in the shoes of others. So please do be generous in your giving, whether it's to In His Shoes, to Apostle, it all goes to furthering this message. I am at the end of today's broadcast. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed presenting it to you. Do check us out. We are at inissues.org. We are on Facebook. Check out all the wonderful things. We have a team In Her Shoes walking in the Avon Walk next month. They need your donation. They need your support. You'll find them on Facebook as well. Check out all the blogs that we put out. I shared with you Harry Hagopian's last week. We'll put a link on that. There is also Anna Harmandarian, who does a wonderful blog. Do check her out as well. And stay connected with us. We love hearing from you. We are at feedback@epostle.net. Epostle, of course, is apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. On behalf of the crew that put today's podcast together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-balance top visit.